We're talking to entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And I want to thank our friends who have built us a new studio over at MTP Software and the Social Scene. Thank you very much, Frank Sincotta. We are located in those new offices. And my co-host today is the incomparable John Dustin. Hi, John.
Hey, morning, Jeff. Glad to be here again.
Thank you very much, John. How's the world of PNC?
The world of private casualty insurance seems very busy, and the economy's on the commercial side is a little bit brisk, and the personal side is getting interesting because there's very little inventory on the homeowner side. So,
Okay. Well, our next guest, returning guest, we asked him to come back after we had the first interview, Robert Munnelly. I got it right.
Yes.
From Davis Mom, and you're going to talk to us about a couple of war stories this time, correct?
Well, great. Yeah, this is we've had several of these sessions here talking about different aspects of data security, and as Jeffrey knows, that it's one of those things that it applies to everybody in Massachusetts under the rules that are in place, and it's something everyone should be thinking about. And so that's something that we wanted to at least try to bring to the table some insight on that.
Well, I know it's a subject that John's also very interested in.
Yeah, it's a very hot topic in our industry, certainly the cybersecurity insurance. And you know, even before you get the security in place, and I'm sure Robert's aware of this. Robert, what sort of progression do you take with a new customer to see if they have written information programs? How do you inventory their needs?
Yeah, that, it's funny. I actually have one I have to do this afternoon now. But what I'll do is I'll have a discussion of what they have in place. Do they have plans? What are the written information security plans, the WISP? So do they have WISPs? Do they have they thought about what they're going to do in case of a breach? You know, do they have insurance available? Have they thought about that type of thing? Do they have a disaster recovery plan? So have they backed up, have backup systems in place so that if everything goes down, they can recover quickly? And that's particularly important for certain types of malware. For example, there's an emerging trend, which is ransomware, where people have malware that takes over your computer systems. And if you don't have it, you either and they ask you to pay. So either you pay or ideally you don't pay because you don't want to encourage this behavior, and you're able to be able to immediately recover your data and keep operating would be helpful.
My understanding with the ransomware, and we've seen it on the insurance side, is there's been a police department in Massachusetts, a hospital that actually had to pay to release the data, and the forensic people came in and couldn't figure out how to undo what was in there. So, you know, that's a big trap, I guess.
It's a huge trap, and that's one of the things. It's good to think about that in advance and make sure that you have the emergency planning backup piece so that if you can be down for a short period of time, but you can get yourself back without having to pay the ransom.
I just like the name. It's great marketing. Ransomware.
Well, it is. I mean, they have some amazing things on that. They had the one in, I think it was a hotel in Switzerland where they had electronic locks and somebody actually ransomed the locks so the locks couldn't open.
Wow. Really? Is this expensive software for the small business owner?
Well, it's the software. Ransomware is something that a hacker would use. And again, it's something that's a cost of... Yeah.
It's
the other way around. There, the hacker types are using this as a weapon because it's, yeah, they can do it for your home computer. You want access to your home computer and they have it in, it's essentially encryption. They'll encrypt your computer and to get the password back. Yeah.
Wow.
You can't unlock your own computer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I actually saw a law firm that was preparing for litigation and the ransomware attacked their computer and they had no choice but to pay the exorbitant amount of money because otherwise they couldn't go to trial and they couldn't get an extension.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
And keep in mind that there's no assurance they won't do
it
again.
I'm sure they billed it back to the client. I shouldn't have said that in front of an attorney. Did you hear what I just said?
I object to that, yes.
and Robert, when you do these evaluations, I think it would be fair to say the breadth of people that would need it is anyone that's really running a company because they could have credit card information. What do you see out there?
Well, everyone has employee information, so every company is subject to the Massachusetts rules.
Yeah.
And on top of that, then, yes, you have credit card information or you have vendor information that involves sensitive stuff or in the healthcare space, obviously, they have the federal law that comes
privacy.
In with HIPAA, which is personal health information, and you have, if you're marketing to kids, there's special protections for children's information. There's all sorts of stuff that kicks in. There's financial information of all sorts that are applicable under some of the different laws that apply to financial institutions. So there's a lot of stuff that has to be taken into account. And then, yes, you have to figure out what you have, where is it placed, what protections you have. And then from there, you start designing a good program around that.
It's kind of funny that you're doing this because I think it's more of a risk management application, which people need. So they come to us for insurance, but they may not even need the insurance, or they may need a different kind. But you're doing that entry level, really digging in.
Yeah, that's exactly. And then the other part is that sometimes I get referrals from companies because they're trying to get cyber insurance, and they won't be underwritten unless they have written plans in place.
That's exactly
right.
You
actually have to have that. But yeah, that's kind of what a lot of what I do is that piece of it. It's the planning, the coming up with a good solid program that's workable, and then dealing with a crisis if there's a breach.
How did you end up in this niche?
It's something that I did. I have a regulatory practice, and one of the pieces that happened back in the a number of years ago was the federal law passed what they call the red flag rules, and that requires companies with ongoing billing relationships to come up with a written plan, a WISP. And that actually applies to telecom companies, cable companies.
Medical billing.
Various medical pieces of it. And that started the ball rolling. And then Massachusetts passed its rules that require a plan for everybody. So at that point, that was a nice starting point to be able to grow into that practice.
It's funny, we adopted the WISP because we have, in my office, we have, life insurance records, medical. They're all scanned in, but you never know.
That's exactly that.
Where do you get most of your clients from?
I'm not getting in the middle of this. I know this is a subject that John loves, so I figure he's just going to carry the ball on this one. It's like the few games when Brady's not throwing the ball because you just know it's a running game. I just given up on the game plan here.
I was getting a little scared that you were quiet.
Is a topic, John, that you're particularly familiar in. I mean, you probably want to talk after the show also. It's something he's done interviews on the show on the same subject.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we have comes internally from clients at the firm who just, it's something where I'll take a look. That's one of the things I'll do is I'll say, what do you have? And I'll just take a look at it. And I'm like, okay, not bad, but it needs X or Y or Z, or you need to think about this, or this can be enhanced. And give them a budget. They say, go ahead. And that's how a lot of the work comes in.
Who initially instituted the WISP? Was it the DOL, or who came out with the requirement for that?
It was the Office of Consumer Business, the OCABR, came up with that back in 2009, 2010. Okay. They were effective in 2010. They're as far out on the edge in the country as anybody. Because no one else had, at that point at the state level, had required a WISP of everybody. But the trend is increasing now. Rhode Island required WISPs as of last year. New York has special rules for financial institutions now.
I would think that we're always behind in the technology, because you look at the elections and all the accusations now with the Russian spying. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Russian history, one thing that Russians have always been good at is spying. They've been doing it for 1,000 years because they were behind even before America was, advanced. So they were spying on the French and the British. That's just what the Russians do. And they were spying through the Reagan administration. I mean, so spying and technology, I mean, it might be something that we're a little bit naive about it, but in business, it's a big issue because it's not hard to close us down. John's example of the law firm. I can't imagine if I was a lawyer preparing for litigation could take months to years before you get to court, correct? And just before you get to the litigation, they shut down the law firm? Ouch. It's true. You'd pay anything to get back online.
Well, they didn't have a choice because, you either defend the client and do your work, or you can't get an extension. What do you do?
Yeah. But you just put your finger on something else, which is we're having all these, the incursions into the Democratic National Committee, and there have been some at different federal agencies. And the problem with that is that they just don't have good computer systems. A lot of them have legacy systems that have been in place for years and years and years. They're not the cutting edge, and they're susceptible to incursion. So it's a problem. That's why a lot of breaches at the federal level have been happening, because they have all these systems that are too damn hard to replace.
You look at this guy with WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
I mean, and at some level, he's not a huge organization.
Yeah.
And they've never been able to stop him.
Yeah.
He just, he didn't like, I'm not taking sides, he didn't like Hillary.
Yeah.
That was clear. He wanted Hillary to lose and he wanted Trump to win. So he just went right in there and started drilling into Hillary. Now, I'm not saying everything wasn't real that he found, but still, yeah. I mean, they couldn't stop him.
Yeah. Well, that's part of it, I guess, is an institutional planning issue that the Democratic National Committee needed to have better electronic protections in place. Now, that may or may not prevent all incursions, but it would certainly prevent the easier ones.
And your point is well taken, though. The bigger the organization, the more difficult it is to migrate to something more secure.
And
to build security around an old system is probably not worth the money. So I don't know if you want to make that well known, because we'll get taxed more to replace the systems. But
yeah,
I take the opposite philosophy. I go, if somebody really wants my computer and all the information, that's fine, because that's the day I'm retiring. I just, here it is. You've given me my message. I can take the message. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah. It all depends on the nature of your business. You know, you have like these adult websites like Ashley Madison and Adult Friend Finder. That's their business, is keeping that stuff confidential.
Well, they got breached.
Yeah, but they got breached too.
And they all got breached. And that's one of those where they in particular really needed to have very, very good electronic protections, because it destroys their value proposition if the names of everyone are released. If you're somebody who wants to do something illicit, why would you ever want to go to an organization?
Now, I don't know why you didn't bring up Ashley Madison at the beginning. That would have been a much better interview. You know, can you talk a little bit about the breach of Ashley Madison and how they work? Clearly, if we're doing SEO, that's a much better interview. People want to know about that one.
Well, that one was an insider deal. Somebody was ticked off at management and ended up releasing.
That's what happens most of the time, isn't it? And I got a call from a client in the last month who told me, I think we've been breached. It happened from the inside.
Yeah.
An angry ex-employee.
That happens all the time as well. That's one of the things, is when you're thinking through the planning stuff that I do, one of them is you have really good termination policies, that when somebody is getting fired, you need to cut their access off at the same time. You don't let them linger. You
get their mobile phone.
Get every bit of equipment they have. And also the other one is just proactively, if somebody is not good in your organization, you probably need to move them out before.
So you're saying you have to sign as part of the employment agreement with your employee, it should be part of the engagement letter, right?
It's with a client, I'm thinking more of it with like employee.
That's what I mean. If I'm hiring an employee, it should be part of, I should review my whole personnel policy and my employment letters, right?
Correct. You want procedures for non-disclosure. You know, if they have a mobile phone, that you can wipe it out if it gets lost. There's a whole list of things you would go through.
It's a planning. It's an organic process. It's part of that this is. It does touch a bunch of the other areas that businesses have. Part of it's just good planning.
And the other thing that we see exposure that you probably do a lot of is websites. People don't understand if people are putting any data in at all, they need terms and conditions.
Yes.
And they forget that, and then something happens, and they say, well, where were your terms and conditions? Go ahead.
Robert, I'm not going to get into this subject, because I have some thoughts going in my head. I don't want to say them on the radio. So.
Okay. We'll pass on that. But I did want to just a couple of quick nuggets of you did want to.
Sometimes
of examples.
It would be better just to have a gun. a little aggressive, you think?
Yeah, you did, Jeffrey. I wanted to give you just a couple of just things that are happening that people. They're specific incidents, but they will tie to a little bit to broader themes. One of them is that I had a client with a very good security program, and somebody spoofed the email of the CEO. In other words, they faked an email from him. They ended up sending it to the head of the accounting group to say, please forward me all the W-2 employee records for the company. And the person said, well, that's personal information. I have to send it to you over our encrypted link. So, of course you have to. Please do so. So they sent the encrypted email to this fake address. And at that point, it's a breach. And that's a very common one these days because what they're using that for is to do fake tax returns.
You don't get the John Dustin, I'm in St. Thomas, send me $100,000, I'm in jail? From his email, that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a more sophisticated part because it's what they call spear phishing. It's actually targeted to a company. They've done enough research to know who the CEO is. They end up sending they fake the email, they send it with that one targeted point, and they end up getting the information out. And again, then the company has a breach and has to deal with it and all that. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's bad for the individual affected employees because they may have to deal with fake tax returns and problems. Mm-hmm. And all that.
You know, we get it much easier in my consulting firm. We get emails from Chris Jenner, Chris, our producer,
Chris Gerald. You look
and,
lovely,
and it's like,
Chris.
Send me a dozen pizzas or we're not posting your radio show. So that's all we get at Mage. It's pretty benign in our company.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I was going to say one other one is that it's basically from the entrepreneur standpoint. There's a company who was more or less a startup, and in there, I'll keep it. It'll be a short one on that. They just they did some planning to do a plan, but hadn't followed through. And then, of course, they acquisition target comes, and their due diligence list is including what's your WISP programs, what's this, what's that, and suddenly we had a big scramble fest to get that in shape, and it almost caused problems with the deal.
You're going to have to come back again. Yeah. But I think we should have you back when John Dustin's here. It's a natural.
Happy to do that.
Because I brought the conversation down. I know
okay.
that. Robert, if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Yes, it's Rob Munnelly, and I'm at the law firm Davis Mom D'Agostine, and that's on the website. So it's Davis, then MALM, and then it goes on from there. But Davis Mom in Boston, you can hunt me down that way.
So we have one end of cybersecurity. The other end is my co-host, John Dustin, who would help you with the PNC insurance. John, how do people find you?
They can call us at 508-543-1067. They can reach us on the web at www.jedinsurance.com.
I think I've created a good marriage between the two of you guys. My name is Jeffrey Davis from Mage. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.
That's great.